It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Morning, everybody. Ben Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Can you taste it, Padres fans? Because I'm telling you, there's something in the air right now. Thanks for being here. Welcome in. Thanks so much for paying attention, listening to, being involved in our little passion project here. It's actually not our career, but feels like a passion project sometimes. And just a great, great group of people that we have gathered and collected over the years that make it a priority to listen to Ben and Woods every day. Still a mind-blowing scene for me. I can explain a little bit more about that in a moment, but wanted to introduce ourselves. Maybe it's your first time listening. If it is, welcome. I'm Woodsy. And that is Paul Reindel. He is the executive producer, also the imaging director for the station. So when you hear the imaging, when you hear 97.3 The Fan, Paulie has put all that together.
Now, that's not me.
That's not you, but you put it all together.
Yes.
And the audio. Paulie is an audio wizard. I was going to combine Paulie and audio. Paudio is an audio wizard. And he's also our executive producer. Ben Higgins is your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. And the reason I say that is that he also works at Channel 10 and has for 20 years, 20 years and a couple of days. And he's the only man I know that does a morning show and works nights doing sports on TV. And he's here. I mean, we're all waiting for Ben to snap at some point. I feel like it is coming. I feel like it will come. It's a matter of time. You can only stretch a rubber band so far until eventually it snaps and gets one of your thumbs. Right,
I snapped 4 years ago. You didn't even notice.
You're already gone.
Very quietly, but I actually already snapped a long time ago, and you missed it.
His snap would be different than mine. I snap several dozen times a day. Ben snaps once, very quietly, in his car, just driving around. He goes, "Oh, I'm tired of this." That's his version of snapping, I think. So, which is good because listen, it's. Nobody works. A lot of people work those shifts. Nobody works those shifts together. So we have Benjamin. And he does those together.
That was good. Thorough explanation of who we are and what we do.
Yes.
Without ever really touching on who we are and what we do in the morning.
Yeah, so. For sure.
So, this show is beyond explanation.
It is.
I've done it now with you for almost 7 years.
Yep.
I don't think that I can totally explain what this show is.
It's so funny that you say that. You know what it is? And what I realized yesterday, our show is essentially a sitcom. And you can run the risk in radio when you do a sitcom type show of leaving people behind. People tune in, they go, "I don't really follow. I don't know what this do the show bitch means. I don't know what this is. I don't know what that is." And I have always loved those type of shows. I like to find people that I like, and I like to follow along with their lives. Those have always been the shows that have been my favorite. The show that if I tuned into in the morning and it was just rip and read scores from last night, breaking down analysis, I can listen to it, but they'll get me for about 7 minutes. But the shows that I'll sit and invest 3 to 4 hours in, well, what's going on with so-and-so? What's going on with this guy? Why isn't he there today? Is he hungover again? Like, those are the shows, serial shows, sitcom-y type shows. That's what we are. And I realized that yesterday. That's what it is. It's more of an adult sitcom, but it's definitely like a sitcom.
Like yesterday's episode would be called like the one where Woods goes after some random dude in Victorville who made advances at his wife on Twitter.
And I wouldn't even say I went after him. I grew to appreciate him by the end of the night. And I told you guys that over the weekend, if you missed this, we did it later in the show, but I was at Oracle Park with my wife and kids. And then my wife posted a lovely picture of us at Oracle Park. And all of a sudden, I just am looking down at the comments, hearting comments, liking comments. And some guy, his name is Russ, he said, "Yo, hit me up or at me to say sup or looking for a side thing." So I looked at that at the other day, and I laughed hysterically because I clicked on his picture. And I said it yesterday, and I'll say it again. I'm not trying to be mean here, but he looks like a cigarette butt. If a cigarette butt had a face, that's Russ. He's on a very, very dirty couch. I mean, I can see grime and dirt on the couch. He's got a shaved head. He's got a weird, like, goatee and a mustache. He looks fairly diminutive, and he's throwing up the middle finger, which is just as hard-ass as you can get, right?
It's pretty cool.
In the picture, it's...
If I'm being honest, it's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. So he's laying
back.
Cool
move.
The sun is coming in to his trailer, and it's shining a light on his finger. And I think the couch actually came with the trailer. And there's wood paneling behind it. So you know the deal. So he writes this, and I write back. And then, look, I retweeted it. I'm not trying to attack the guy. He jumped in our family picture. So I'm going to get you a little bit. So yesterday, we talked about it on the air. And then this dude tweets again. Should you read it? I think it's funnier if you read it, actually.
I've got to find
I'll
it.
I'll find
then.
It
All right,
for
you,
you.
You can send it to me. But honestly, he seemed a little confused as to what he had waded into. Because he had done this before with other pictures.
And I retweeted it
all the time.
Yesterday.
But none of them had quite the following, I think, that you had had. Or
correct.
No one had bothered to ever kind of push back at his method. All right, this was this was Russ. So, some lame-ass sports anchor coming at me about his wife. She probably at me first for some of it, he knows. And then after Woods retweeted and made a big deal about it, you could see where he was trying to figure out what's going
He's
on.
He's like, what's happening?
Who the F all you people?
Whoa.
Yeah, I said, what's up to her? She's hot. Who the F cares? I'm supposed to keep track of every dirtbag some chick is with. I see what I like. I go for it. F off.
I saw that tweet, and I read it, and I showed it to Hannah. She was laying next to me in bed. And I go, babe, check this out. Yeah, who the F are all you people? Yeah, I said, what's up to her? She's hot. Who the F cares? I'm supposed to keep track of every dirtbag some chick is with? This was my favorite. I see what I like, and I go for it. F off. And Hannah goes,
tell you, this guy's cool.
So I leaned over.
That's cool.
I go, read this. She goes, yeah, that's pretty good. I go, yeah, I agree. But again,
I went through the math yesterday. I mean, he needs a very low success rate if he tries enough, you know, shoots his shot enough times.
Oh,
low success rate works in that situation.
Bro, I was.
He doesn't know. I mean, obviously, it looks like you're a happy family, but something could have happened on the trip where all of a sudden, Hannah is a free agent, and he doesn't know, and so might as well just throw it out there. It costs very little for him to send that tweet.
It costs him nothing.
Exactly.
You know, he doesn't pay for X or anything. He's just a man looking for love at the end of the day. But I think I took some wisdom from him yesterday. I see something I want, and I go for it. F off. I mean, that should be everybody's motto. Do you guys have any inspirational things on your mirror at home, or do you do that? Do you put I've kept a couple of fortunes from fortune cookies and I tuck them into the side of my mirror.
I'm gonna let you guess whether I keep inspirational fortune cookie messages on my bathroom mirror. Just I'm gonna give you the coin flip shot at it. You tell me.
I'll take no.
I'll say no.
Wow,
as
you're
well.
Both right.
I also have a calendar, an inspirational quotes calendar, that in the morning I get up, I go to the bathroom, I rip off the deal, and I read the quote of the day. About 70% of the time, they're pretty good. Some turds in there, you know, as to be expected. There's 365 of them. They're not all going to be winners. But I thought, man, I need to put that on my mirror. That's where it belongs. I see something I like, I go for it. F off. I mean, it really is a good way to live. He has no fear. So, yeah, that's when we say, you know, sitcom and serial content, that's what we mean. I mean, you gotta check in and see what happened the day before, right?
Correct.
He's something. He is something. Now I'm kind of rooting for the guy. Not with my wife, but with somebody else's wife or somebody else. Or maybe he just finds love.
Should we see if he'll call in?
100%.
We should probably follow in DM.
If you can't.
Feels like that might be a little risky on live radio. Maybe we can tape
maybe
it
we
after
can tape
the show
it.
And then edit it up. But live radio, that well, we seems got, a little risky.
We got a dump button. Maybe we have him in.
We need about 17 of them if we were going to have him on live and he speaks the way he tweets.
Maybe we have
so.
Hannah in and he can talk to her on the phone.
Christmas and holiday extravaganza.
Ah.
The two of them together. A Christmas miracle. Ooh,
we'll do Valentine's
you know,
Day.
No,
show.
I got it. Well, here's what we'll do. We get a booth, an isolation booth, and for the Christmas and holiday extravaganza, they play 7 minutes in heaven. And I put my wife in there with Russ. Russ? Is it Russ?
Yeah.
Russ and Hannah in a booth for 7 minutes in heaven. And then they come out and see how did it go in there? We'll interview them. She's going to slit my throat. She's going to absolutely slit my throat. So I think that'd be a good, that'd be a good one. Yeah, bigger news too that I'm a sports anchor. I'm not a sports anchor, my friends. I'm not. Holy cow. So yeah, it was a fun one. I've really come to like the guy and I'm rooting for him. I hope he finds love. It's hard out there in Victorville, I imagine, to find love.
Meanwhile, we had a nice time down at Petco Park yesterday before the game. Went down to the Padres clubhouse, ran into some old friends, recorded an interview with Michael King that you're going to hear later in the show today. But mostly felt good to be down there with the team back, and the vibes are excellent
aren't they, at Petco Park. Elite? Like, we've been in that clubhouse before when things weren't going well, and we've been in that clubhouse when things were just, whatever, just kind of puttering along. Different. It's different. You can see it. Guys are together. Guys are really shooting the breeze together. Everyone's smiling. The energy's through the roof.
What did I say to you? We were in there for about 10 minutes before we had to go back outside to the dugout to record the interview. And in those first 10 minutes, me and Woods were walking around, and I go, I don't know what's going to happen in the next 6 weeks. But this feels like a different team.
Yeah, it's the
vibe in the clubhouse. Every time we've gone down there this year, but in particularly yesterday, coming off a sweep, of course the vibes are going to be high. But I'm looking around. Everybody is bought in.
And focused.
Everybody's buddy-buddy,
yeah.
But focused at the same time. It's not just grab ass. Like, everybody, there's just a different energy in that clubhouse. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's going to mean. I don't know if it means anything.
You get the feeling, too, come game time, these guys are really excited to get out there. They really, really are. And I think last night was a really good indication of what this team can do. And they can beat you in a bunch of different ways. And I was just really impressed, man. I was really impressed with last night's victory. I've been impressed for the second half of this season of how these guys have played. Everyone was super cool. Everyone was super friendly. Michael King, I'm going to tell you this right now. He's a gem. He is a total gem and a perfect, just a great representation of this team and this city. I hope he stays until he's done. He is a fantastic guy. And I hope you guys like this interview. We got some fun behind the scenes of it as well. But, man, just a great group down there. Honestly, man, just a great group. Guys busting balls with each other in the middle of our interview. Well, actually, right at the beginning, we got started. Tyler Wade was taking batting practice. And he's out there, and he's got his little basketball jersey on, and he's hitting. He sees Michael King in the dugout with us. And he doesn't say anything. He just walks up and stops and stares and trying to make Michael King uncomfortable. Definitely something I would do to Ben if Ben was about to be interviewed. And he's, like, waving him off. Then he goes, "Hi, Tyler." He's like, "Hi." He goes, "Why don't you go hit?" And he goes, "I did. Couldn't you hear it?" And Michael King goes, "No." Just like that. I mean, it was great. So it was a lot of fun. These guys are, man, they're doing it. They're doing it right now. So like I said to open the show, if you're a Padres fan right now, you can taste it a little bit out there. It just feels different.
Well, we will set the menu for the program today, our sitcom, as it were, what the episode will entail in our next segment. But obviously, there'll be a lot of Padres talk. get into the magic number. There is a little bit of math that I'll need to do on your magic numbering again like we did yesterday.
Well, I was completely wrong. And I think I saw a lot of people were wrong about the magic number.
It's a little more confusing than it used to be. Don't worry too much about it. Just be confident in the fact that the Padres continue to head themselves in the correct direction and closer to the postseason. So we'll get to all of that coming up next. First, our friend Kelly Danick will give you an update on the traffic early morning here in San Diego on our roadways, and then back with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I did get a ton of questions last night about what's the new magic number for the Padres. We calculated it on the air yesterday, and yesterday it was at 8. And you'd think, well, the Padres won, the Braves lost, so it's at 6. Well, it's a little more complicated than that, unfortunately. This is a result of baseball going away from the old Game 163. It used to be very simple, because if you finished tied, you'd play another game. You had to get one more than that on your magic number. It didn't matter. There were no three-way ties. It didn't factor in. But now with the new format, it becomes a little more complicated. The reason that it was at 8 yesterday was because the Braves and Mets were tied and had to play each other three times. So even if the Braves had won all their games, they would have had to have handed the Mets three straight losses. Now that the Mets won yesterday, the math doesn't work quite the same anymore. And now the magic number for the Padres to clinch a playoff spot, no worse than the sixth seed, the final wild card, is at 7 today over the Atlanta Braves. So keep that in mind. Any combination of 7 Padres wins and Braves losses would get the Padres into the postseason. FanGraphs has that mathematically represented this morning. Woods, 99.0% chance that the Padres make the playoffs.
I'll take those odds.
Gulp.
Of course, they also had the Philadelphia Eagles at about 99.4% chance to win last night on Monday Night Football with 2 minutes to go, and it didn't happen. So it is sports, and crazy things do occur.
I heard there was a pretty crazy ending to that game, but I didn't have like a rooting interest, so I wasn't following along. Did either of you guys happen to have any interest?
I had a fantasy football interest. I needed one more catch from Devontae Smith to beat Sammy Leavitt, and I did not get it. I lost by like 0.02. points.
What about you, Woods?
But had the Eagles just won the game outright, no spread or anything, I would have won $2,500. So Hit
like American dollars.
Yeah, 2,500 was.
So you had a 99.4% chance of winning $2,500.
Yeah, your boy was pretty confident last night. He had all I need. I had a Jalen Hurts touchdown, Kirk Cousins touchdown, Saquon Barkley over 78.5, and the Eagles win was the last part of it. Put 100 down to win 2,500.
So you could have like sold that ticket on the market for about $2,400 at that point.
I don't know where this market is, but my guy doesn't work that way. So I just have to text him and be like, hey, how about a payout? Hey, how about a payout? And then usually takes
Saquon
about a week.
Saquon Barkley doesn't have hands of stone. You're sitting here flush this morning.
Yeah. I'm up already. I've been flush for a while, but I'm just like...
That more was, flush.
That would have been way more flush. More fun to play when you have more in your account. So I was pretty... I couldn't believe it. I thought to myself, oh, man, soon as this win hits, I'm going to go look at the account, see what it is. Nope. Lost again. So very cool.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It is. It's all right. It happens. You win some, you lose some. You live to fight another day. Gamble with your head, not over it.
We live to do another show today. Here's what we've got coming up for you. The Padres wrap up. We will do the really look at last night's 3-1 win over the Houston Astros. Yu Darvish's performance.
Do the really
on...
look?
I was going to say the deep dive into the game. So I was going to say a deep dive into the game, but
we'll do the really look at it. I like this. Like, we could brand that, actually. Coming up next, the really look. At...
But I know Annie and Elston do the deep dive hour, and I
we
got to
change it up.
Thing,
we're going to do the really look. The Ben and Woods really look is a new thing. You created a new bit just like that. Yes! I love when an organic bit comes together.
We call it a Padres wrap-up,
yeah,
which is coming up in our next segment.
Also known as the Ben and Woods really look. Yeah, it's great. It's great. Don't worry. I'm going to get my time in the chamber later, as you know, Ben. So.
We will talk to Michael King at 7:35. It's an interview that we recorded in the dugout yesterday, as you just heard. But a really good conversation with a guy who I now really, really want to be here long term.
No doubt.
He is going to be a Padre. You know, he's under contract through next season. Padres control his rights. But after that... he's going to hit free agency, so I imagine it's something that will at least be an off-season topic coming up for the Padres about potential extension for Michael King. But we really enjoyed that conversation. Looking forward to bringing it to you at 7:35 this morning. Jesse Agler, it's an Incorporator Tuesday, voice of the Padres, will be with us at 8:35 this morning. And then around that, we've got all of our usual features like Take on Woods and Don't Do This and the Rindle Report. We also have some Padres Astros tickets to give away. Now, that's for tomorrow's game, right?
Correct.
We're going to give them away later in the show today, so a chance to go and pick up one of the Fernando Tatis Jr. bobbleheads and see the Padres in their second-to-last series finale tomorrow of the season before they take on the Chicago White Sox, and that's it for the home schedule. I mean, we're crossing our fingers that there's going to be some home playoff games at Petco Park, but none of that's assured as of yet.
No, sir, not promised to anyone, so soak it in while you can.
We also have a giveaway a little early today. In fact, if you want to call right now, we've got a family four-pack of tickets to the Hot Wheels Monster Trucks Live Glow Party this Saturday at Pechanga Arena.
A lot going on there.
Tickets are available at AXS.com.
But,
Hot Wheels.
Monster Trucks. Glow Party.
It's live. It's Saturday. It's at Pechanga Arena.
Nice.
For details, kids, I suggest hitting the Google machine and figuring it out. But if you're looking for something to do and you got a family, four-pack of tickets, call right now, 833-73. Paulie's going to take the third caller, 833-288-0973. You can win that family four-pack of tickets to see the Hot Wheels Monster Trucks at Pechanga on Saturday.
Nice.
All right, we'll come back and do our really look at the San Diego Padres last night against the Houston Astros. Don't go away. Ben and Woods continuing here on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, they're arguing with your math in the chat, and I don't know what to do because if you have to explain yourself again, you might lose me and Paulie.
I don't have to. I don't have to do the math again.
Oh God! Oh boy!
I don't have to explain anything to you people.
I've kicked the hornet's nest. I think when you question Ben's math, you can question a lot about Ben. Don't ever question his math.
F you.
Right.
Honestly, the simple way to explain it is when you're. When you're trying to determine a magic number, just assume that the teams that are chasing you win every game.
Okay.
And if you do that, how many games does your team need to win to clinch a playoff spot? Because the magic number, you can always control your own destiny by just winning enough games. And right now, if the Braves and Mets won every game, and right now it's would be the Braves because they're in the last spot. If they won every game the rest of the way, Padres would need to win seven times to finish tied with the Braves, and they had the tiebreaker against them.
Still don't understand, but no, hey, will you do me a favor, Ben? When we clinch, will you just text me and let me know? Or you can say,
I would think that you'll notice the champagne popping in the clubhouse.
How about this?
Everything.
Hey, why are they celebrating? What happened?
Hey, how about this? Give me like a good solid 24 hours. Like, hey, Woodsy, just so you know.
If the Padres win on Friday
and or so-and-so loses, you win. Because it would be like me to do a premature sell. I'm going to be at the game on Friday. There's a chance they clinch Friday night. I would be there, which would be really sick. So would you give me the heads up on Thursday?
I will give you 24 hours of heads up.
This could be the day coming up. Again, you're talking to somebody that doesn't know what a deductible means. I still don't know what it means. I don't know what customs are. These are things, you got to go through customs. Oh, yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. What's up? I try to understand. We've done this bit before. I don't know. Babe, what's our deductible? $500, I think. I don't even know what that means.
So do I give you $500? Do they give me $500?
It's going to cost me $500? No, I've already paid $500? Oh. Like if I get in a wreck, well, what's our deductible? I don't know. What should I do? I'm like a moron when it comes to this stuff. And math is, ask my dad. My dad who used to scream at me at the table. Scream! Well, we were doing math at the table because he's a math guy. He's like Ben. It just clicked for him, and I wouldn't get it. And I would flip my papers up and throw them all over the room, and he would not understand. So I stick to my strengths. He's double checking his math right now.
I am double checking.
Yeah, he is.
I also have a website that double checks it as well, and they also agree that it's seven at the moment.
Okay, seven.
But that, that also involves the potential of three-way ties where the Padres could still lose to the Braves in a three-way scenario. That's why it's just more complicated now than it used to be. It'll work itself out pretty soon.
Jeff says, after trying to understand Ben's math, I'm confident knowing the magic number is purple. Yep, that's it.
Exactly.
That makes more sense to me.
They can't clinch today.
They will not.
I will let you all know they cannot clinch a playoff spot today. They did get closer, though, last night. We will go through the highlights, our Padres wrap-up, coming up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh, my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
Two and two to Machado. And the pitch from Arrighetti is ripped into left field. That's a base hit down the line. Profar going to score easily from second. Manny is on his way there to replace him. Hayward's throw will be cut at short. Back-to-back two-out doubles in the first. And the Padres with a 1-0 lead. For Darvish is near perfecto. Here's a ground ball from Bregman. Off the handle out to Machado at third base. Manny throws him out. And three ground ball outs for Darvish in a 1-2-3 top of the fourth inning. Paz with a 1-0 lead over the Astros. Merrill swings at the first pitch. Sends one a mile to center field. Dubon will leap. He's got no shot. It's going to go. Another homer for Jackson Merrill. 413 feet. To straightaway center field, and the Padre lead is 2-0. 1-2, line the other way, into left field, base hit. Hayward plays it on a hop. They're going to wave a rise. Here comes the throw from Hayward, the tag, and he is out at the plate. Rise came in awkwardly, sort of tumbled over Caratini. And Luis now down on his hands and knees in the dirt behind the left-handed batter's box. Here's the 1-1. Alvarez, hard hit liner up the middle. That's into center and a base hit. Altuve rounding third. He's going to score. Merrill's throw will go into second base. And the Astros are on the board. Back-to-back hits to begin the eighth inning. 25th pitch of the inning for Tanner Scott. And it's taken right down the middle, strike three called. Garattini was not looking for the fastball, but the fastball is what he got. Astros with a run on two hits. There was an error, and they leave two men on base. On 3-1, Jurgensen swings, hits it in the air to deep right field. Way back, gonna go! Jurgensen Profar's fourth hit of the night is his 23rd home run of the season, and the Padre lead is 3-1. Here's the 2-0, swung on, hit in the air to right field straight away. Should be it. Fernando there, he makes the catch, and the ball game is over. Beautifully pitched game by the Padres. Yu Darvish, six shutout innings. Couple of homers by Merrill and Profar after Machado's RBI double. And the Padres a nice, clean 3-1 win over the Astros here tonight. Pick up a game on the Diamondbacks in the wild card standings.
Yeah, he's fantastic. You know, hard-fought, you know, battle tonight. Two good teams going at it. And, man, he was great. He was really fantastic. Very efficient. Controlled counts. Fastball had a lot of life to it. Spin was good. Threw to both sides of the plate. I thought he was vintage you. He was tremendous.
Love it. Vintage you.
Six innings, three hits, two walks, three strikeouts, but, you know, made the pitches that he needed to make, got some weak contact, fielded his position well.
That play was very difficult.
To end the second inning, yeah. Very tough swinging bunt that he had to go field to his right and then throw all the way. Got him by just an eyelash at first base to thwart a potential early game rally for the Houston Astros.
Great word.
Well done by Yu Darvish yesterday.
Thwart is a great word.
Thwart?
Thwart.
Thwart.
You've really been mixing. Is there another show doing incorporators with you lately?
Because thwart.
Yesterday it was a bunch of French words, and today it's thwart, which I love it. I love it. Great, great performance from Yu Darvish last night. Good performance from the bullpen last night. I think the overarching theme of what I saw from the fan base last night was that was a pretty terrible send by Tim Leeper, who, by the way...
All right, you want to jump right into
Luis
Arraez, because it is certainly the most concerning aspect of last night's game is the health condition of Luis Arraez after he slid into home plate on a ball that they did not need to send him home on. Now, is it a ridiculous send? No,
yes.
Of course.
No, it is.
It's not ridiculous.
It's absolutely ridiculous. There's literally no reason to make that send. None whatsoever, because of who's running and the situation. Most importantly, who's coming up behind him. Luis Arraez is, let's be honest, guys, as much as we love him, he's not a fast runner at all. He's not a particularly great base runner either. Jason Hayward is a world-renowned defender and with a very, very good arm. And again, with less than two outs, so they had one out. It happens, man. It happens all the time. And I'll say this for Tim Leeper. I like Tim Leeper. We talked to Tim Flannery about Tim Leeper. And Tim Leeper has gotten better at his job as the season has progressed. I fully agree with that. Like, Matt Williams was the worst I've ever seen. He was the worst I've ever seen coach third base. And he's still doing it for the Giants. He's still doing ridiculous sense. I think Tim Leeper has really done a great job. But I thought last night, I don't know why you would. Maybe caught up in the moment or something. Yes, I realize it took a perfect throw and a perfect throw, but there's no reason. The risk reward of that bet is.
I don't know what the math would tell you. I would guess that Luis Arraez scores at least half the time on that play. As you said, it takes perfect throw to get him, and they got him. He's going to score a lot on that play. Now, what are the odds that he still scores anyway if you hold him? Manny Machado coming up. He's red hot.
I like my cleanup hitter coming up with bases loaded.
Now,
one
just
out.
Devil's advocate. No one has hit any more double plays, I think, in baseball than Manny Machado.
I take my chances.
That ends the inning there. Strikeout is
then
possible against Serengeti.
Why is he hitting cleanup?
I'm not saying that it's a guy you want
there's no excuse. There's no excuse.
I just don't know mathematically which pathway gets you more runs guaranteed, sending him or not sending him.
You cannot have a guy thrown out at home plate with less than two outs and your four-hole hitter coming up. You just can't.
Well, you can't just if you hold everyone, if there's any chance at all
everyone.
That they get thrown
I said
out.
Hold Luis Arraez. I hold Luis Arraez. I hold Jurickson Profar. I don't hold Bryce Johnson. I don't hold Tyler Wade. Obviously, it's personnel-driven. It's got – hey, Here he is. Well, this guy's got a cannon in front of
him. If Tyler Wade had a 95% chance of scoring there, do you send him?
Yes.
But there's still a fight. He might get out.
But my odds say...
Well, what odds do you need to send him is what I'm saying. There's an odds for everybody. There's a scenario where you send me, as slow as I am. If I have a 90% chance of scoring because the ball's in the gap...
If it's in the gap.
You're going to send
him. Not right at him to left field. The play's right in front of him.
Yeah, but would you have sent Tyler Wade in that situation?
Maybe. With Manny coming up, probably not. And if they didn't score, I probably got my ass chewed.
All I'm arguing is there's always a scenario where you send, and there's a scenario where you hold.
Bro,
and there's a gray area scenario in between.
Joey
personally,
said,
I don't think I would.
Joey says if he scores there, nobody says anything about the send. Well, he didn't. And Manny came up with two outs, and we didn't score.
But a third base coach, if you 100% of your runners that you send score, you're the worst third base coach in baseball because you're not sending
enough
them
guys.
Enough.
Yep.
Your guys should get thrown out at least every once in a while for the proper amount of aggression. You should be getting guys thrown out of the plate every once in a while, which is, I think, where we've ended up with Tim Leaper at the end of the year. Had a few early where he got thrown out. Then for a while, I think, the Sens were really good. You can argue this one, but you have to have a certain level of aggression as a third base coach. You can't just go, well, there's a 1% chance he's going to get thrown out. Better hold him. We don't want to risk it.
I'm saying it's personnel driven. I'm saying it's 100% personnel driven. If I'm on second base, or you're on second base, or Paulie's on second base, I'm not sending any of us with our four-hole hitter coming up. Our cleanup hitter. What is his job? Cleanup. Yes, I realize Manny is wrapped into some double plays. Who's the hottest hitter on the planet right now? I'm going to give that dude a chance to drive in three with a double. It's just unnecessary. And you factor in, like you said, off the air, time of year.
Now, he still had a chance to drive in three with a homer or two with
absolutely.
A double there.
Absolutely.
It doesn't end the inning when you send him either. So that's part of the equation of the send. Ultimately, I kind of agree with you, and it's not because I was worried about Arise getting thrown out. It's because at this stage, you don't want to set up any situation where you could get one of your guys hurt this close to the playoffs.
Yeah,
collision at the plate, sliding into a catcher, whatever. And that's ultimately what happened that I think made it more of a bad decision. Not that he got thrown out, but that he actually had to, arrive at home plate at the same time as a baseball is not a great thing at this point in the year.
At first I was like, well, he ran through a stop sign. Then they showed the back view of Leaper waving him, and I go, oh, no, not with Manny coming up, not with less than two outs. There's just no way. And then, of course, he skids into home plate, and the knee, he's clutching his knee, and of course now his knee's sore. And
it was terrifying to watch him sitting there.
It's awful,
and getting
dude.
Worked on and kind of hobbling to the dugout, and then it was even worse to watch him come back up and hit a double.
Double and limp in the second.
Right about when he hit first base, that's when you could see he was really struggling.
So he knew that he couldn't run when he went up to home plate. He told Mike Schilt that. He said, you're going to need a pinch runner for me. They were kind of expecting a single because that's what he does most of the time. Tyler Wade was already standing at the top of the dugout ready to go out. Turned out he hit it so hard that he ended up, limping his way into second base. But that wasn't a surprise. The Padres weren't caught off guard we thought he was healthy, and he goes out and he can't run. No, they knew he couldn't run when he hit, but he said, I can hit. And they said, okay, well, go and take one more swing and, try to get someone on base, and we'll pinch run for you. So that was the plan. Ultimately, the initial diagnosis
You want to hear from Schilt?
Sure.
Yeah. This was AJ Cassavale asking him about it yesterday.
A couple questions about Arise, but I guess I'll just start with how's he doing and what did he appear to kind of shake up there?
He jammed his knee in the plate, and, preliminary reports are stable, sore, as you could tell after he legged out the double. But what a gamer. So I can hit. I said, need somebody to run? He goes, I can hit. So, yeah. More fantastic at bats from top of the lineup. He was great. Pro was obviously fantastic.
Incredible night for Jerkson Profar. Works every time.
Was he listening yesterday?
Maybe. Maybe I made him mad. I said, your optimal lineup is probably Merrill 3 and Profar 5. And then he goes 4-for-4 and hits a bump. He also had there was an opportunity for Jerkson to do a Jerkson thing. And he didn't do the Jerkson thing last night. First and second, nobody out. And I went, oh, God, here it comes. Here it comes. But no, he did not lay down the bunt. And I thought it was great. Yeah,
he was seeing Arigetti well.
Uh-huh.
He felt like I can hit a line drive off this guy. And he did.
I love it. I love Luis Arise. I love Tim Leaper.
Ultimately with Arise, though, my my main concern is when you hear jammed knee. Well, that's what they call it. Hasan Kim was a jammed shoulder.
Jammed shoulder.
They said, it's not that bad. You know, he might need to go on the injured list, might not. Well, he's still out, and we don't know when he's coming back. And that's what they called it in the beginning, is a jammed shoulder. So this is a jammed knee. Stable sounds good. Sore, you know, okay. You know, a lot of guys are sore. They need Luis Arraez,
yeah,
you know, for the postseason.
100%. DH him. If you need to give him the White Sox series off, you have a chance to beat those guys without him. So
Arraez said, I expect to be in there today. You know,
he's a baller,
game two,
dude,
of the series. We'll see.
If he's a baller.
Talk his way into the lineup. But, yeah, they need that guy healthy for sure. He is hitting insanely hot right now.
Well, you know he wants to win another batting title.
Well, he's got,
you know,
he could sit the rest of the season. He probably has it locked up.
Yeah.
So. All right, we didn't even get to some of the other guys in the game. We will continue our discussion and play a little take on Woods when we start hour number two of the show, coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.